listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chef. 0% interest from $4,000 to $15,000. When you combine this with their cash rebate, it's the best deal they've had in a long time. Check it out, Lakewood Chef. Jermaine Franklin from TSN in Calgary joins us. Jermaine, the Flames definitely trying to avoid losing their first preseason game. Very veteran-laden lineup at home. Their top four defense are all in. Their top few lines. I guess let's start with Tkachuk. Just precautionary for the Flames. He's not going in either game?
Yeah, apparently he's definitely not going tonight. They held him off the ice for maintenance day. The entire team has the day off tomorrow. And according to Coach Glenn Gullitson, he said that they expect Tkachuk to be back on the ice on Wednesday. He apparently left a little bit early on Sunday with a little bit of a hip ailment, like a hip flexor sort of thing. And Gullitson, of course, trying to calm everyone down, saying that they're dealing with a couple of groin and hip ailments, we'll call them, not quite injuries, just because it's the start of camp and guys are trying to go a little hard. So we'll take him at his word until Wednesday. And if he's not out there then, well, more questions will be asked.
What about the back end? We know that Hamonic was the big deal they made, or one of the big deals they made in the offseason. Now they've got a fairly, well, very impressive top four. What's the chatter between Hamonic and Brody so far at this point in early in camp?
Well, Brody, he's not much of a talker, and it doesn't seem like Hamonic is
perfect
either. But exactly. Maybe they'll communicate with their eyes. But Travis Hamonic did say that they've been sticking together, making sure they talk just as much on the ice, actually more off the ice than they do on the ice. They're excited to play their first game together. I think it's easy to assume, which is I'm one of those guys. I asked Hamonic today. I said, is it as simple as I'm going to be the stay-home defenseman, Hamonic, and Brody, you just go what you do best, which is skate. And he said, yeah, I hope it's that simple, but it never is exactly the way it is. So we'll see how they work together tonight, and we'll see how they work together throughout the preseason. The interesting thing is I think that Gullitson has a great safety net in Michael Stone, because Brody and Stone played so well together after he was acquired in the second half of the season last year. If things don't necessarily work out with Hamonic, they can go to Stone once in a while and do a little switch. The defense is so deep with their top five in Giordano, Hamilton, Brody, and Hamonic and Stone. It's interchangeable on that right side, which is quite rare in the NHL. They're almost too deep on the right side, and on the left side, they're pretty happy with what they have in Brody and Giordano. So it'll be interesting to see how well Hamonic and Brody does, or how well they do, in the preseason.
Jermaine Franklin joins us. Is Bartowski the leader for the number six spot, or Kulak, I'm assuming Wotherspoon, are those the three guys battling for number six?
Yeah, without a doubt, and I'd say Bartkowski is the leader right now. He's the guy that it's his job to lose. Wotherspoon, I could see how it could be frustrating for him as a player. He seems to be, or he has been close in previous years, but just hasn't got the job done. And now it seems guys are not necessarily passing him on the depth chart, but it's certainly not a guarantee that he's next in line. I give that to Brett Kulak, who did start with the club last year and played a number of games before going back down. So right now it's Bartkowski and Kulak. I would say Wotherspoon is a close third for that sixth and final spot, and perhaps even. Well, we're going to see what Juuso Valimäki has as well. But he's a long shot, but he's the first rounder of the Flames, and he's looked pretty good in Penticton and even in the first few days of camp.
As you've gone through the first few days of camp, who's kind of the wild card in this at 4D that might kind of make things interesting, pushing or pressuring someone to out of a spot?
I would definitely say Mark Jankowski. Jankowski is a guy that the Flames took a lot of heat a few years ago for taking him in that first round, late in the first round, and they've given him a lot of time to mature. He went all 4 years in college and then had a great season last year in Stockton, led the team in points and was almost a point per game guy. And now he's a good 6'4", and he's a man. He is definitely a man and can play in the league. It's just pretty crowded at that center position. If I was Matt Stajan, of course, I'd be looking over my shoulder. And even Sam Bennett, although they're going to give him a long leash at center, I wouldn't be too comfortable, because they could easily move Sam to the wing and give Jankowski or maybe even Curtis Lazar a shot. Now, Lazar, they gave up a second-round pick last year to acquire him, so you know that they have good plans for him. And they believe that he can be an NHL. The question is it going to be on the right wing, or is it going to be at the center position, which Curtis believes he is a natural center. So the center ice position is definitely crowded. I think it's pretty much set, the top four, but that could always change. And Jankowski, I believe, is one guy who could change it.
Could Jankowski become a winger if you know, Bennett and Stajan perform as, you know, the team expects?
Yeah, I think it's possible. I definitely know he's an intelligent player, so he could probably adjust to playing the wing. But the one thing is his body type and the way he plays, I think it would be quite the adjustment. And I don't think that they would go to him first to switch to wing. I think if he had an excellent camp, Stajan would be the one they switch to the wing, and they would keep Jankowski at center. I think that's how highly they think of him. And I think Stajan has had to do it in the past, so it would be an easier transition. And when you're talking about trying to win games, Jankowski would probably be best for them at center.
The Flames obviously changed their goaltending again, like they did last summer. And
I know, Mika Kiprusoff and what? Everybody else.
And you know what? They've been kind of searching for that. What makes you believe this year's tandem will have more success than last year's?
I mean, it sounds hokey and it sounds a little bit cheesy, but let's say both guys are extremely motivated. Mike Smith has been in a rough market for most of his career. It has not gone well in Arizona. Brad Treliving knows him well, says that he doesn't have too many miles on him, and he is an excellent puck handler, and that will help the defense stay healthier, hopefully, and not take as many hits. And the motivation, back to the motivation part, he wants to prove that he can be a part of a very good team. And if he does play his part, there's a good chance the Flames will be a very good team. Eddie Lack, the same thing. We all know that amazing rant by the head coach in Carolina last year, talking about Lack not even competing for the number one job. I think he has something to prove. And I know that's an easy thing to say, but when it comes right down to these two goaltenders, that might be the difference. That might be the difference between, say, a .922 save percentage and a .915 save percentage. And as that goes over the season, that could be the difference of 2, 3, 4 wins, which would be the difference between, say, 94 points and 100 points. So I think that's an easy answer for me. But to pretend that I know the goaltending position and like a goaltender coach would be a lie. So I'll go with the motivation factor to say why they would be different this year.
Seems like every year now the Flames are stealing from the Oilers organization, Chris Versteeg, and then Spencer Fu. So Oilers fans are texting, and how is the Fu Manchu looking?
Spencer Fu is looking good. I was not in Penticton, but there was rave reviews for him and the way he played in Penticton. And now in the first few days of camp, giving him the eye test. And this is what's funny to me, Jay. Well, both Jays. I am still old school. I see the size of these guys, and I'm like, wow, these guys have to be good. How do they survive? If I saw you in the hallway, Stretzy, and I looked, and you would pass the eye test without a doubt because of your size, and I'm like, yeah, I could work with that guy. I see Spencer Fu, and the kid is fast. He's dynamic. He's got a good shot. He's a natural right-handed shot, and obviously he's smart, but I'm like, man, it's going to be interesting to see what happens when he goes up against real NHL talent. But yes, he does look good. And I got to give my head a shake for being a little skeptical at times. But he may be exactly what the Flames needed need, if not this year, next year or the year after, with a good professional season under his belt.
Yeah, I still see him destined to start the season in the American Hockey League and then work his way up. One player who is hoping to restart his career, albeit still very early, is Curtis Lazar. And we had him on the show when he signed the contract, and obviously he's very upbeat. That's his personality. But he was very forthcoming in admitting that he had no confidence. He didn't even like going to the rink at times in Ottawa. He was basically beaten down mentally. Is he going to play center, do you think, in Calgary? And is he the fourth line center? Where do you see him slotting in? What's his role going to be?
Right now, I see him playing the right wing, but ready to go at center if whenever he's needed or whenever he's called. Just like I said before, I think the center ice position is crowded, and they have those guys, if not written in stone, let's say it's in pen, and something would have to occur or someone would have to lose the job. And I hate to say it because I like Matt Stajan, but he's the guy. He's the guy everybody's watching. He's the guy that I'd say the average Flame fan is watching. He's the guy that the press box is watching. If he is not getting the job done, it'll be like, see you later, have a seat. Let's see what we have in Curtis Lazar. Let's see what we have in Mark Jankowski. I think Lazar has a lot to prove this year again, talking about motivation. What the Flames did, they did give up a second-round pick, and they took their time with him last year. They didn't want to throw him in the lineup. He barely played. They gave him time to I guess, reassess, get in shape, and figure out what Gullitson's system is, and now it's a complete fresh slate. There is pressure to perform. Let's not mix that up. But there's also the fact that there is belief in this guy, and he knows that his leash will be longer than what he had in Ottawa. And I think that'll go a long way. I think Lazar is one guy that they will not hesitate to move up and down the lineup to give him opportunities. If Michael Ferland does not do well on that top line on the right side because he is not a natural right shot and Lazar is playing well, I would not be surprised if they gave him a shot with Monahan and Goudreau for a game or two to not only give him a confidence boost, but perhaps see what he can do with top NHL talent. So I think that Lazar will start on the fourth line right wing, but I don't think that he will be limited to the fourth line right wing.
Jermaine, enjoy the game tonight. It's good to have hockey back, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks so much, boys.